Thank the Lord for that testimony and for that song. Out of our sorrows, our disappointments, and our mistakes, as those are yielded to and are ministered to by God, comes our testimony. And that testimony is to be shared not only for God's glory, but to feed, comfort, and encourage everyone else. So we don't enjoy grief, we don't enjoy adversity. But in that, the richness of God is exposed to us. And the richness of God is given to us. In those times that you and me don't understand, we struggle with, that hurt, tempt, there's a fountain. And there's a well. There's a great richness that you and me draw from that supplies our needs according to whatever they may be. And this well that has blessed our sister, this fountain that flowed out to her, that challenged her, has now challenged and fed us. And that's the way it ought to be. I can be selfish and hold my grief, or I can be selfish and be comforted and hold my comfort. But as we share, as we say, I'm weak, I'm vulnerable. But in my weakness, the Holy Spirit ministered to me, and now I'm strong. Now I'm stronger. So thank the Lord this morning for the workings of the body of Christ. So beautiful. This morning, I want us to think about the word rich and consider it in a spiritual application. Consider it from the standpoint of with richness comes confidence. I want you to think strictly as a human for a moment. Have you found that when you know you're half sufficient and you have enough, that the needs are met and the future looks bright financially? Have you ever noticed your countenance can pick up? I'm not asking for a spiritual thought at all here right now. Have you ever noticed that when we recognize that we have an abundant supply of something, it kind of encourages our confidence? It does that, doesn't it? If you're going somewhere and you know it's 250 miles and you look at your gas tank and you got a full tank, and you know you get so many miles to the gallon, you can go 500 miles on that tank. Makes you confident, doesn't it? You're rich. Your tank's full. I want us to shift now to our spiritual welfare and our spiritual thoughts. My little burden this morning is the joy and the security in being rich in the Lord and having the riches of the Lord at our disposal and bestowed upon us. I want you to listen as we read the definition of the word rich. Left a few out because it has a lot of definitions. To be rich means to be wealthy, opulent, possessing a large portion, splendid, costly, valuable, precious, abundant in material, containing abundance beyond want, abounding in valuable ingredients, abounding in valuable quantity. The word rich means to be fertile, fruitful, capable of producing large crops or quantities. So it has a large capacity to produce. Full of beautiful scenery. Plentifully stocked. Abounding with nutritious quantities. Highly seasoned. That's a few of the definitions of the word rich. I'm convinced this morning as you and me look into the Word of God today and in our private devotions and study, we'll find the Lord has made it available for you and me to be rich in all these definitions in a spiritual life. That God has not only made it possible, but we'll read that it's His will, that it's His desire for you to and me to have an abundant supply of the riches of the Godhead in our life, working in us, producing a crop to the glory of God, having a life that is seasoned by that grace and by that richness, and becoming the salt of the earth and sharing our bounty, sharing our riches, sharing the treasures of heaven with one another and with those outside of the brotherhood or the sisterhood. An abundant supply that you and me can have a joy and that we can have a confidence that when the enemy comes, temptation comes, and life comes, you and I will have that within us that is greater than all the things that would try to make us poor. I want to read a scripture in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 this morning. I want to begin with the thought that it's God's intent that we be rich. Now, it's so easy to think of the word rich strictly in a financial way. Well, really banish that from you. Don't even really consider that this morning. Because there's something greater than the riches of money in this world and lands. Rich in faith, rich in love, rich in the Holy Ghost, rich in grace, rich in mercy, rich in the outpouring of God, calling us, shaping us, producing in us the exact image of God and Christ on this earth, rich in the outflowing from the very presence of the Godhead. Thinking now about it's God's will. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, our sakes, He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. I'd say when the Lord came to mankind, He found the poorest of the poor. He found men that were lost, women that were lost. He finds people today with vile habits. He finds men and women today in all manners of unbelief, sorrow, sickness, all manners of situations that they've brought on themselves, others have cast upon them, and finds you and me in a very poor condition, spiritually, emotionally, most every time. And in His love for us, He divested Himself. He emptied Himself out. He gave us of the richness of His blood, of His love and His grace. He gave us the richness of His obedience to the Father. He gave of His richness of that oneness, sonship with the Father. He emptied that out and made us a part of Him. He emptied Himself. Why? So that you and me might be rich in the qualities of the divine, in the richness of the divine, in the security and the confidence and the joy of the divine. I say to us this morning, it's God's will to invest us with the richness of the Godhead. We can be rich today, and we can have the security and the abundance of it. We gauge people. Or let's say it this way. We gauge will by the actions of someone. Let's gauge what God had in mind and what Christ has in mind for us. That you and me be rich in the possessions that He has. In that He emptied Himself, made Himself poor, if you will, or submitted to the humiliation of man, submitted to the the torment of the cross, suffered the indignity of the rejections and the abuse of His creation, the Creator being humiliated by the creature that He created, so that you and me might be able to enter in to a relationship with Him whereby He is not ashamed now to call us brethren, whereby He is now the Father is willing to call us His children, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I want you to read over in John, the 17th chapter. And listen again to the will of Jesus Christ. John 17:22. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. The glory of Jesus Christ, the glory bestowed upon Him as the only begotten Son, all power in heaven and in earth, the angels, the people, the all of creation, the Word of God made flesh, they gave honor and worship to Him. The glory of the only begotten of the Father came down and emptied Himself out and bestowed, granted to, gave to us that glory, that you and me could also be with Him in paradise, we could be with Him in heaven, that we could have Him living in us, reigning in us, that we could be rich, not in our qualities anymore, but rich in the divine, rich in love, the very love of God. He asked or prayed to the Father that this glory that He had with the Father from the beginning be bestowed upon us. That makes us rich. That opens up to me every fruitful possibility. That opens up to me the fountain of life. That opens up to me forgiveness and mercy and unmerited favor. That opens up to me victories and powers over self and powers over sin, powers over emotions and sicknesses. Every power was granted unto Jesus. We're not Christ in that sense, I know that. But yet He bestowed upon us, granted unto us. He asked the Father, make them rich. Give them the glory. Give them the honor that I have had. Over in Ephesians, I want to read there a moment. Ephesians 2 and 4. Ephesians 2 and 4. Maybe read down through the 7th verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Today, I want you to think about this thought. Don't underestimate the richness and the value in the love of God. Because He loved us and loves us, everything that is of Him and even His divine nature has been bestowed upon us. That love constrained Him, just as Paul said it constrains us. That love that He had for you and me constrained Him to offer to us everything He is and all of His power. He is rich in mercy for the great love, the greatness of God's love that He has loved you and me with. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we're saved, by the absolute unmerited favor of God, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places, wonderful places, divine places, spiritual places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord that He has wanted us to sit with Him. Jesus said in one place, with desire, I have desired to eat this meal with you. That the glory of the Father might be bestowed upon us. He has made it possible that you and me might come boldly to the throne of grace. You and me might cast our burdens and the loads and the cares of life upon Him. That you and me might draw nourishment, great nourishment from the wells of salvation. That you and me might be able to taste and eat and assimilate His Word into our life, into our actions. That you and me might be able to have the power and the authority of the Godhead take up His residency or tabernacle and tent right here with us. God, not a God of afar, but a God close at hand and nearby living in us. All the power of God invested in Jesus Christ abiding within us. Thank the Lord this morning that God has made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's rich. Don't ever underestimate the value of being a Christian. Don't ever underestimate the spiritual wealth that's afforded to us because we're sons of God. Don't ever count the inheritance of God as weaker than the onslaught of life. But count yourself rich, blessed, glorified, if you will, in the sense that the Lord has bestowed upon us victory and peace and all of His power. Said He has made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hebrews said that God has extended to us the scepter of righteousness. How do we go to God? Do we go in our righteousness or our power or those kind of things? It's through Jesus Christ. By Him we can enter in to that covenant with God. By Him we can enter into the Holy of Holies. This morning God has extended to us the scepter of His righteousness, Jesus Christ. He extends Him out, and He becomes the door, the way, the truth. He becomes the means by which we are accepted in the Beloved. God has made us rich, folks. We have nothing to be ashamed of by all means. And we have something to face life with. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Shall these separate me? Will I let this separate me? Shall those things here or behind the sister talked about and sang about the mistakes of the past? No, God wants us to take care of those and confess them, be forgiven if it's necessary, and then go forward, forward, is the battle cry. Shall these that come against me, the fact that someone hurt my feelings, shall that separate me? Shall the trauma of abuse rise up greater than the love of God? We're more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. He has granted to us victory through Jesus Christ. He has extended the very right arm of His righteousness, the scepter of His righteousness, the richness of His kingdom. All things, Paul said, are yours. He has extended them to us that we, 8th chapter of Romans, might be more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. I'm not trying to paint it as all I got to do is lay back and enjoy the riches. No, I know there's problems. I know there's work. But there's also the richness and the resources of the Almighty God that you and me draw from, that when that comes against us, that you fear most comes against you, there's a richness and a quality there that I can have confidence. My tank is full, in other words. That's a long road up ahead, but I got more than enough. Oh, God, I should say, has more than enough. In Psalms, the 8th chapter, 84th chapter. Psalms 84, speaking about setting together in heavenly places. 84 and 10 of Psalms. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. A day in those heavenly places far exceed 1,000 somewhere else. Folks, it's so important that we stay in those heavenly places. You know, the devil wants you to wander away. The devil wants you to go other places, see other things. He wants you to invest your time, and He wants you to invest your trust and your confidence into other things. I've seen it so, and I've seen it so in my life. Things that we put confidence in this life will eventually disappoint us. There will be something greater than a full gas tank. As we travel down the road of life with a full gas tank, we think going 250 miles on a 500-mile gas tank. There's that piece of metal. There's that big rock that gets thrown up and hits the gas tank. We'll be disappointed, folks. If you're going through life on your full gas tank, you will be disappointed. Because there's a rock out there. Or there's a road jam up there that you've got to set and idle in cold weather. Whatever we take stock in and feel like, now I'm sufficient, now I'm okay, maybe our health. Some of you here today are very young. And I don't know how to convey the message that you're going to get old to you. The best I can say is look around. I can show you pictures of me in diapers. I know you don't want to see it, but I can show them to you. You know, I can do that, running around in a little skirt dress like that the boys used to wear when I was little. Yes, that's the best way I can say it. Guess what? You're coming to me. I'll be gone by the time you get here, but you're coming my way too. And whatever we trust in this life, has its little sphere of time. And it's gone. It can't help it. May not even be something bad. It's just something that's going to go. A day in the courts of the Lord. Make us rich, folks. It's better than 1,000. Do some fast computing. 365 days in the house of the Lord is better than 365,000 days somewhere else. Then multiply that by 10 years. Then multiply that by, say, 70 years. Aren't you rich today? And no good thing, the necessities of life, the grace of God, He said, no good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. I'd like to, my message today is you're rich. I think part of my challenge to myself is act rich. Conduct yourself as rich. Believe you're rich. Enjoy your riches. There are people that like to hoard money. I haven't been cursed with that one. There are people that like to be Scrooges. Did any of you ever read comic books? I did when I was a little boy. Donald Duck. And Uncle Scrooge, maybe some of you didn't read that. Uncle Scrooge, he had more money than he could ever spend in two or three lifetimes. And he didn't want to share a penny of it. And he had sat in there and just sat in his money. It was silly, but it's more truth in it than what you think in fiction. He'd count his money and throw it up in the air. Old Uncle Scrooge Duck. Lord, help us. Count yourself rich in the valuable things, in the treasures of life, treasures of joy, treasures of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, treasures of there is therefore now no condemnation. A rich, what can be greater than not having condemnation between us and God? What is better than not having a warfare between us and God? What is better than having the love of God take up residence in one's own heart? We're rich today. All the power of the Godhead has been bestowed on Jesus Christ and to us. That we come behind in no gift. and that the treasures of the kingdom might be there for us to possess and to use. Fear. What did he say about fear? Perfect love. Cast out fear. You know, sometimes we can get so afraid. I've been there. Just recently I've been there. Yes, sometimes saints fear fear. But do you know what he said? Perfect love is greater than that. We've got a treasure, folks. The treasure of love that surmounts the fears of the gray matter. Fears of what man may do to us. Fear of the what-ifs of life. Fear of whatever plagues you. We're rich, folks. Because God said His perfect love vanishes. Cast out that fear. I believe we said we wanted to look in Ephesians, the first chapter, in the fifth verse. I don't think any man, before I say read this, I don't think we ought to boast. Nothing wrong with wanting to make a little more money. And it's nothing wrong with needing to make a little more money. And there's nothing wrong when the boss calls you in and says, look, and you find a percentage of an increase. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't go around boasting in it. We don't go down the hallway waving our checkbook or whatever. It's a private matter. And if we start boasting on wealth, if any of us might have that, you know what's going to happen? People are going to start walking a circle around you. They don't want to hear you boast. But I'm thinking about this. The attitude of mine in your heart when it comes to spiritual wealth. God wants us to bear much fruit. God wants us not to boast, although Paul said he boasted in Christ. Does not want us to boast and brag about our spiritual wealth, but he wants it to be seen. He wants us to be more than an overcomer. He wants us to be on display for him. See, other people know sometimes our trials and our tests, our griefs and our pains, and God and our temptations. And God wants us to be the city set on a hill. He wants us to shine forth the glory of God. He wants us to draw from our riches. And then when we're accosted by life and we're victorious, he gets glory and honor because of our testimony of drawing from that well of salvation. Paul wrote this in Ephesians 1 and 5. Having predestinated us, Christ, God has done this, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, he wants to do it. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Thank the Lord for that. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. God set out with a purpose. He has fulfilled that purpose. And He has made Himself available, the abundance and abounded toward us in His wisdom and in His prudence. Thank God this morning that God did not just lightly walk through your life. God walks through our life dramatically. Jesus Christ did not come and politely and graciously just go through life. Jesus Christ made a scene. He made himself evident. He created a controversy so he might reach out and bestow upon us the abundance of His grace, the abundance of His love, that He would shock mankind into realization that they were dead in trespasses and sin. That He had something greater than the physicians, greater than the money in the coffers of the banks. God had something to give us that no man anywhere could go out and accrue for himself. It was in Christ alone it was there. So the Lord didn't just tiptoe through life. He wanted people to look on Him. He wanted people to know Him so He could bestow upon them the love of God. So He could forgive them. So the abundance of Himself could be lavished on them. May the Lord help us today. That we recognize, folks, we don't have to take a back seat to the devil. And I'm talking about really right now in our thinking. We don't have to think ourselves less than we ought. Paul admonished us not to think of ourselves more than we ought. Well, I say to us, let's don't think of ourselves less than we ought. We're special. All of mankind is special to God. But the redeemed of the Lord are His jewels. They're valuable. And He has bestowed upon us His richness so that we might be able to be more than a conqueror. And He said here in the reading, it's abounded. It's abounded toward us. Let's go down in the same chapter and read what Paul was praying. 16th verse. Said, Paul said he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. This morning, God wants us, our eyes rather, to be opened. So easy to get blinded. It's easy to get blindsided. Things that we don't understand. Things that happen to us. Oh, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on the richness of what He has bestowed upon us. He said in John, and we have all received grace for grace, abounding grace, multitude of favors, no end to the river of life. And we've read and talked about that where this river came in Ezekiel, everything that was supposed to live and the river touched it, it lived. God created you for life. He created you special. And He wants to let that river of His richness come by and touch every one of us. So then when the bills come in, you got money to pay them. And I promise you, I'm not talking about your electricity bill. When the wear and tear of life wear out your shoes, you can go somewhere and buy a new pair of shoes. God recognizes life takes a toll. It's taxing. And it expends us. And there is energy that goes out of us just by thinking, by looking, by listening, deciding, by labors, by raising children, by being a husband, by being a wife, by being a school teacher, by working on a job. Everything in life expends and takes from us. But He promised us grace for grace. Sometimes the taxes of life, just because I'm called on to be a human, you're called on to be a human, it exacts sorrow of death from us. Car wrecks. Someone gets angry with us. The devil tempts us. All of that is taxing to us. He promised us grace for grace. Lord, help us today to recognize now that we are indeed rich. We have an inheritance. And it's not only up there somewhere. It's down here. We're sons of God today. We're heirs of Jesus Christ today. May I ask you a question to muse on? I don't know which way to ask which one first, so I'll say this. What do you think of yourself and the value of yourself? Now, that may sound unnecessary, but folks, it's very necessary. You need to put a value on yourself. God did. Satan comes by and life comes by. Some of us are just born with a temperament to put ourselves down. God didn't. God died for you. Jesus died for you. You're very valuable. More than many sparrows. You know, you need to think well of yourself. Not proudly. But I'm special. God loves me. God gave me promise after promise after promise. Or in our minds, does the promises go to the church and somebody else? No, saints, every one of us here today, saint and sinner, young man and young person, I want you to know something. The promises are for us. We need to get in the kingdom, of course. We need to be saved, of course. But the promises are for every one of us. Whosoever will, are we willing to drink of the water? Are we willing to be immersed in the water? Are we willing to receive the fullness of the Godhead? Are we willing to reach out and say, I thirst, I hunger, help me? Are we willing to use that which the Lord puts in our hands, in our hearts, in our lips? It's all ours. What do you think of yourself this morning? Are you valuable enough to save? Are you valuable enough to say, I need to turn around and start over and do something better? Are you valuable enough to yourself that you're willing to say, I want to go to heaven and I'm not going to go to hell. I value myself too much for it. I value myself too much to be so angry with my wife that I begin to lose her love. I'm too valuable to put myself through the heartache of drugs or alcohol or bad habits. Think about it. You're valuable to God. He said that to you. Value yourself. You're not incidental. Don't get on a thing that, oh, I'm nothing and nobody cares. That's a lie of the devil. I care. I may not show it. I may not be as good as Jesus. I'm not as showing it. People care. And Jesus cares. So value yourself. How valuable, my second part of my question is, how valuable is God to you? Or how rich is God? That's a question that no one can answer for another. May the Lord help us today to recognize, as I put a value on God, that enhances my understanding of what I can receive from Him. If God is a creator who threw us out in the universe and said, have at it, I'll check back with you in 400 million years. Not very valuable, is He? Not going to hear Him if I cry. If I build an altar, He's not going to see it. If I put some animals on the fire, He's not going to smell it. He's way off somewhere else doing something else. He's in another universe over there. If that's what God is to you, then His value and your ability and what He offers to you is not very much, is it? But what if He was a God who wanted to dwell with His people so much, He had them build a tabernacle and an elaborate system of worship. Had them create and build an altar and overlay it with gold. Place upon it the cherubims on each end, overshadowing the center of that. And He labeled that in the middle the mercy seat. And He wanted right there to dwell so people could, estranged people, people that had no resources in their own, who were smaller in number than the tribes around them, and Not giants like some of them, and not as fierce as some of them, not as wealthy as others. That those people who He had called could come and have an audience with the Most High God at the mercy seat. I believe in a God like that. That's acutely aware of my weaknesses and my needs and is totally interested in us. So much interested that that wasn't the end of the story. But unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given. He shall be the child, the son of the Most Highest. And all the different titles it talks about in the 9th chapter of Isaiah of Jesus Christ. And He came to us and grew up and offered Himself as a sacrifice that you and me might be brought home to God. That you and me might have the living Savior's blood applied. That we may cast on Him all our cares. This morning, Lord, help us to value God and His power. Is sin greater than God? You need to ask yourself. We need to know the answer to that. Does God really love me when I stump my toe? Does God love me when I don't think anyone does? May the Lord help our eyes to be open. Study the Bible. Study the love. Read the book. It's a love story. Adam Clark said, that you may understand what is the glorious abundance of the spiritual things which to you are entitled in consequence of being made children of God. For if children, this is Bible, Romans talks about it, 8th chapter I believe. For if children, then heirs of God, heirs of that glorious inheritance which God hath provided for the saints. End of quote. God help us that our eyes, understanding of our minds, be open. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We must believe it. Isaiah 53:1. To whom is the arm of the Lord? Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord extended? Have you believed the report this morning? You're valuable. You're very valuable. You're so valuable that the King of Glory died for you. He became rich, poor. He became, in His poverty, He came to make you rich. Bestowing it, giving it. May the Lord help us. He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The Lord doesn't want us to see this richness as a bank. I do business with IBC, bank here in town. They're a chain around the nation. Doesn't matter who you do business with. That's who I do. God doesn't want us to think about Him entirely as a bank. And I go down to the bank. But here He writes to us in Ephesians 14 that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That's where God wants to come and live. That's where He wants the resources to be. That God would dwell in your hearts by faith. That you and me be strengthened in the inner man. The soul, the spirit, however you may want to say that. The eternal man. That you and me might understand not from the head entirely, but a heartfelt understanding based on the fact that Jesus lives in me, that we may be able to comprehend, that we may be able to understand, that we may be rooted and grounded in this love, that we might understand what is the dimensions of His love, the greatness of His counsel, the wonderfulness and the richness of His provisions, and to know the love of Christ in the 19th verse. To know it not as mama told me, the preacher told me, someone told me, oh, but I've experienced His love. I've experienced His peace, His joy, His grace. And now it's in me. So let the world deride. Let the world present to me its worst. By the grace of God, by the love of God, I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. Let things happen that make me crumble to my knees, and they will. But I'm more than a conqueror, because the resource is not at a bank down the street or a city in Jerusalem, but it's Christ in me, dwelling there, reigning in me, sustaining me, empowering me, not giving me and allowing more than I can bear to come my way. I don't have all the answers. I don't understand why things happen the way they do. I just know they do happen. And I also know that we can have the richness of Christ in us, and we can be more than a conqueror. To know the love of Christ, that which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. What a promise. Now, folks, you kind of relax when you got a full gas tank. I do. Went over to Sepulpa last night. Had about an eighth of a tank or a quarter, well, a little less than a quarter of a tank when we got there. Wasn't enough to make the return trip home. So I started, was driving in, I started marking the gas stations. And I knew between me and Interstate was going to be about four. And I like Quick Trip, so I said, I'm going to remember the Quick Trip. Drove into the Quick Trip, put my card in, pumped the gas, closed the latch, got in and drove off with a full tank. I felt confident then, as far as the gas goes. May the Lord help us that we be filled with the fullness of God. Rich. Rich. I'm not saying go out and ask for trouble. You don't even have to do that. It's just going to happen. Don't go out looking, I want to be disappointed so the grace of God can shine. Don't do that. Don't go jump off a cliff and say the grace of the Lord will save you. Don't do that. All of those things are going to happen. Don't go down to the funeral home and not know somebody there and imagine that's your son or your husband or wife and grieve. Don't go down there and do that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But me and you can face life rich. See, if you got a little money in the bank and the tax bill comes in $100 more than you thought, oh, you're not going to like it. Whew, I'm glad I got that extra $100 saved up. Confidence, see? Confidence. An assurance that, I don't want to give the government that $100 extra, but thank God I got it. And you can write that check and feel secure that you're not going broke. See what I mean? Think of yourself this morning as rich in the Lord. Everything that pertains to life and to godliness, He's given it to you. Believe that. Believe it. Work on believing it. Strive at believing it. Read about it. Pray about it. Incorporate it in your actions. Believe that God has given me everything I need. Last scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. Any of us today hear the knocking of the Lord on the door of our heart, won't we please won't we please open? And he promised. He promised. And he can't lie. I'll come in. I'll come in. That then allows you and me to be filled with the fullness of God. Christ in us, our hope of glory. Christ in us, the Holy Ghost in us. How rich is God? You describe it. How rich is God? You explain it. I don't know. He's mighty rich. Mighty rich. And He wants to come live in you. And here's the kind of the dilemma, the controversy. Do I open the door? Now, if it was one of them guys from Publishers Clearing House, I don't know if they're still around or not. If had $100,000 for it, you'd think that the one, oh, that's so-and-so. By all means, by all means. I want that $100,000. He's knocking on my door. Snatch that door open. Don't just creep it open. Get out of the way, son. You know, got to open this door. The God of all creation. And He's got way more than $100,000. Behold the humbleness of Jesus Christ. Stand at your door. If you'll open to me, I'll come in with all my radiance, all my richness, all my grace, all my power, all my love, all of the righteousness that I have, I will come in and sup with you. I'll be in you everything you need. I'm glad this morning that I can know I'm rich. Now, God, give me faith. Give me the trust and the courage to turn loose of those things that bind me right here and keep me in my tracks. Keep me in my fear, in my anger, in my sorrow, in my distress or whatever, in my unbelief. Lord, I know I'm rich. The price has been paid for me to come out of those dark, angry, fearful places. Places of resentment and places of whatever you may feel. The price has been paid. We are rich, saints. Now we have something to proclaim. No glory and no boasting of ourselves. All to Jesus. Every bit to Him who has said, I'll come and take up my residency in you. How rich is God this morning? That's how rich you and me are. You pray for me.